You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to talk to you about the uniqueness of Jesus. I started out saying that. You know, Jesus, of course, is different than any other religious leader, and I talk about that a lot, you know, here. If you come here often, you hear us say that often, that he's not just another religious leader. He's not a Buddha. He's not a Muhammad. And he's not even a Moses, if you put him in that category. You know, when we're celebrating this time of year, the birth of Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus, the word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. That's what the word means. That's why the angels here in Matthew told Joseph in a dream to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So we're celebrating, you know, not the birth of another religion, the birth of a new religion. Actually, it's the fulfillment of the ages. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Word. He was the fulfillment of the promises that were made for 4,000 years is what he was. And so there was a connection in that sense. When Jesus came along, he didn't come unannounced. He didn't come, you know, mysteriously. When you think about God visiting the earth, coming at a certain time, you know, through a man, that I think it would the obligation would be on God to give us a little information, let us know what he's going to look like, what he's going to say, where he's going to be born, those kinds of things, so we wouldn't be fooled. Because a lot of people come and say, I'm from God, or I'm the newest, you know, Messiah, I'm the newest religion, and so on and so forth. But Jesus, see, he stands out in that respect. He stands out in that respect because Muhammad, no one ever prophesied he'd come. No one ever talked about Buddha coming where you could rub his belly one day and get, you know. No one ever prophesied that he'd come. But Jesus, a la contraire, Jesus comes along, and I mean, he comes along in the fulfillment of a whole line of prophecies for thousands of years. Not just, you know, not just to who he is, but what he's going to do, where he's going to be born, the timing of his birth, his enemies, the people that would betray him, the type of his death. I mean, the list is endless of all the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. The wise men followed a star that was prophesied would rise. My granddaughter, she's cute, but I can't compete with her. She's okay, y'all all look at my beautiful granddaughter when she goes there. Okay.
Another generation.
Yes, the next generation. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Yeah, when the wise men came, they followed the star that was prophesied in Numbers that would come. When they were questioned, think about this, they were questioned by Herod the king at that time in Jerusalem. When they came through Jerusalem, they had such an entourage of people. Now see, we often have the idea of it's just three kings. We three kings of Orient are, you know. Well, it wasn't kings. It didn't say they were kings. It says they were wise men. And it more than likely, it was more than three. We get the three from the frankincense, the gold, and the myrrh, the three gifts that they gave. You know, in the Catholic tradition, I think in some churches, they even have names for the wise men, Caspar, and I forgot all the other two names. But we don't know how many it was. We know it was enough people and enough of an entourage of helpers and servants and camels or whoever, whatever the caravan they had. It was enough to cause a stir in Jerusalem is what it says. So I find it hard to believe just three guys on camels coming up would be that big a deal. Hello. So it must have been a big group, and they came from the east because they had seen his star. And when they questioned them, King Herod questioned them about this Messiah, this king that was to be born. They must have been surprised no one else knew about it, you know. But when Herod found out these guys had come so far and they were so influential, obviously to cause such a stir in Jerusalem, it's interesting that the scribes of their day began to look into the scripture and told Herod, well, it says that he'd be born in Bethlehem. So, you know, Jesus was pre-announced. Very unique. I mean, this is something very, very unique. No prophecies on Muhammad. Down to the very time, down to the very city, the very way he was going to be born. Jesus comes along and he is fulfilling scripture. He is the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. He really wasn't that big a surprise if you've been reading your Bible. There actually were people who were looking for his coming. You know, when they went into the temple, Annas the prophetess, She looked for his coming. Simeon the prophet also looked for his coming. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he said, now I can go die. Because the Lord told him he would see the salvation of Israel before he died. So there were people that actually were looking. In fact, Anna the prophetess, when she left there, the Bible tells us that she spoke of him to all those that looked for his coming. I like that. So there were people actually that were looking, waiting for Christmas to come. The first Christmas. Hallelujah. See, this is so unique about Jesus. I mean, Jesus, of course, being God, we know that. He came in direct fulfillment of Scripture. Man, nobody can lay claim to that. No other religion can lay claim to that. No other, you know, the Muslim faith, the Buddhist faith. I mean, you go right on down the list. No one can make the claims that Jesus made and having fulfilled the claims that were made about him. You say, well, he just knew about them and he tried his best to make it look like he fulfilled them. Well, how do you choose where you're going to be born? Hello. How do you choose how you're going to die? They didn't even crucify people when it was prophesied that he'd hang on the cross. See, they pierced his side. They didn't even kill people that way back then. There were so many prophecies that were just undeniable, unique. And that's what makes Jesus unique, our Savior, our Lord, as the fulfillment of Scripture. Matthew, the first chapter. Gave you plenty of time to get there. Matthew 1:18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Or as it follows this way. I'm reading out of New King James and I'm quoting King James. Everybody say the birth of Jesus Christ.
The birth of Jesus Christ.
All right, think about that. Now, God wasn't born. God became a man and the man part of him was born. And the man part of him was Jesus. That's what we call Jesus. But now God had always existed. Isn't that right? Actually, Micah 5:2 says, O Bethlehem of Judea, thou art not least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting, the Ancient of Days. So he always had been. In John, the first chapter, the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word. Always in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things are made by Him, the Word. And there was not anything made that was made that wasn't made by the Word. So we know that He always existed as God, but He had a beginning as a man. Now this is the great mystery. He was a God-man. God became a man. Woo. Man, you talk about humility. You talk about lowering Himself and humbling Himself. You talk about taking the road and the path of weakness to redeem us and save us. That's what God did. The Creator, the Maker of all that is, became one of us. And we see that in Jesus Christ. That's love. Listen, that's compassion. That's what we see at Christmas. We see the great compassion of God, the great humility of God, the great bending down and lowering of God to us, to reach us, because that's the only way He could get us. It's the only way He could bring us up to where He was. You know, it's the law of the highest to the lowest is what it is. The lowest can't get to the highest. He's too high, He's too holy, and we're not. But the high can bend down and touch us if He so chooses, and He did. He so chose to come down and touch us. But He didn't come down to touch us to leave us where we are, and He didn't come down here to stay down here Himself. He came down here to change us. He came down here to save us. He came down here to bring us up to where He is. But He had to come down to bring us up. That's what Christmas is about. Is Jesus coming down, as I said last night, and Terry Mize used to say this all the time, Christmas is where heaven bent over and kissed the earth and we got caught in the middle of the smack. Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or this manner it happened this way. It goes on to tell us here that after His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Not child of Joseph, but child of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And salvation is that way. Salvation doesn't come by might. It didn't come by power. Actually, God saved the world not through power. He didn't save the world through might. He saved the world through the birth of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We think in terms of control. We think in terms of kick the door down, take over, bring in the big guns. But God didn't didn't operate that way. His weakness is stronger than men. His foolishness is wiser than men. That's an amazing story, Christmas, when you think about it. It's an amazing miracle in this amazing way. It's a way we would have never chosen. We wouldn't have done it that way. We'd have come down, kicked the devil out, taken over. But see, God wanted to win hearts. He didn't want to conquer people. He wanted to win people. He didn't come to take over the world. He didn't come to save the world. Things operate different. He came as a lamb. He came not to, you know, to win in the way we win. He came to die and win through his death. You know, that's what Hebrews 2 talks about. Hebrews 2, 14, 15. You know, it says that he took part of the same. Just as we partake of flesh and blood, he also took part of the same. That through death he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Actually, through death, Jesus overcame death. Wow. Conquered it through death. And that's what he came, that was his mission. That was what he came to do. He came to die. He didn't come just to lead, to guide, to direct, to teach, to be an example. He came to die for our sins. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Buddha didn't die for your sins. That wasn't their mission. Jesus came to die. That's another thing that's unique about Jesus. He wasn't just pre-announced over and over and over. He wasn't just the fulfillment of the word. That's unique in itself among all religious leaders. No one ever had the prophecies that Jesus had concerning him, and no one ever fulfilled them like he did. But he also came with a totally different mission. We're not talking about the wisdom of Confucius. Ah, yes, the wisdom of Confucius. We're not talking about Muhammad. We're not talking about Buddha. We're talking about someone who came to die, to sacrifice. He just doesn't fit, see? He doesn't fit that mold, all these religious leaders. He's so unique in that respect. So, I know I'm just expounding on this story greatly here, but it happened this way. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared. Angels were all involved in the birth of Jesus. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is not, you know, something illegitimate. This is not what he was fearing, you know, adultery. This was of the Holy Spirit. I love that. And Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. Christmas wouldn't have happened without the Holy Spirit. You can't make Christmas happen by yourself. You can't make it happen in the natural. It's a God thing, and it happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're celebrating something that God did and no man could do. We're celebrating a miracle, a virgin birth that could never have happened without God intervening, without the Holy Spirit coming down and overshadowing Mary.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And she shall bring forth a son, 21st verse, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the word means. Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus means. So aptly so, we would call him Jesus, for he came to save us from our sins. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is, you got a Savior. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We have a Savior. We've been saved from our sins. God visited us 2,000 years ago. God kept His promise. He kept His Word. He's a God of His Word. He always does what He says. And He came down here out of His love and His compassion and His caring, His craziness about us. He is so crazy about us that He what a crazy plan. Come on, the Creator, the Maker of all that is, becoming a little babe in a manger. Are you kidding me? Really? This is going to save the world? Yeah, absolutely. And it threw everybody off. It threw all the demons for a loop, threw the devil for a loop. Didn't know what to do. The Bible says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They saw his weakness and they said, we got him. Let's get the crowds against him. Let's, you know, fire up his enemies. Let's get them to kill him. And it's a done deal. What they didn't realize is that's what he came to do, was to die. And after about 3 days, he walked around there and slapped the devil around a little bit, took the keys to hell and death away from him. The Bible says he made a show of him triumphantly, publicly. I don't know what happened in the corridors of hell when Jesus rose from the dead, but it must have been a sight. There was a lot of screaming and hollering and shouting, a whole lot of shaking going on. And there's a lot of them weren't happy. The demons thought they had him, and turned out he had them. That they fulfilled his plan. I love it. He came to save us, and he did. And he conquered, and he won. And he got the keys of hell and death, and he rose again. And he said, I am he that liveth and is dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, my goodness. I mean, what a day. What a day when he come out of there, and the devil in terror, sure terror. Oh, the horror. When he realized what he'd done, he thought he buried Jesus and he just planted him. What you plant comes back up. And Jesus came back up. Hallelujah. Oh, it looked like it was such a done deal. This little bitty baby tried to get him killed when he was about 2 years old. That didn't work. You know, tried to tempt him later when he started his ministry. Finally, he just said, well, I'll just kill him. Thought that was going to do it, and that's actually what he came to do, was to die. Wow. Well, I digress. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done, think about it. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child. Isaiah 7:14, incidentally, where that is. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. We just heard that special, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Wow. God visited us on that day, on that Christmas morn. God came to us. God spoke to us. God ministered to us. God fulfilled his promise. God showed up. The angels told the shepherds, said, unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Wow. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We got a Savior.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't ever, let's see, the Christmas present, if the Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas and the true present of Christmas never gets in me, I'll never find it under the tree. You know, I heard it said that way. And we all have Christmas presents under the tree, but the real Christmas present's got to get in me.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Jesus is that real Christmas present. It says this, it says, the 25th verse goes on saying, he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, this is a theme that you see all through Matthew. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. You see that phrase. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. That's fascinating. Jesus came in direct fulfillment of Scripture, and Jesus lived his life in direct fulfillment of Scripture, and Jesus understood his destiny was wrapped up and tied up in the Word. You say, well, yes, he was God. Yeah, but he was also man, and he had to use faith to fulfill his destiny. He had to put faith in the Scripture, what God said about him. He went where God said he should go. He did what God said he should do. And when he'd come up against a blind man, and God said he's supposed to heal him, and the Bible prophesied that he would be the Messiah and he would heal, he by faith put his hands on him and healed him. Because he believed in the Scripture. He believed he was the fulfillment of the Word. He grew in his faith in the Word. He was God, yes, but he was a man also. And as a man, he knew that what God said about him was the truth. And he fulfilled his destiny by fulfilling that Word. He was born as fulfillment of Scripture. He lived his life in fulfillment of Scripture. When he came across impossible situations, if God said that he could do it, he went ahead and did it because that's what God said. We lose that element sometimes. We look at Jesus just as God, and we say, well, he was God. No, he acted in faith his whole life. He submitted himself to the will of God. And for the miracles of God to come to pass, there always is a human element. There's a human acceptance. God had to find someone to give birth through. He had to find a Mary. He had to find a Mary who would say, and Luke tells us this, to the angel, Be it unto me according to your word. He had to find someone who believed that their destiny was tied up in the word or in the scripture. And if Christmas tells us anything, it tells us that God has a destiny for us, but it's up to us to accept that destiny and to fulfill that destiny. Now, obviously, we can't be Jesus in the sense of we can't sacrifice, we can't give our life, we can't pay the price for sins. He did that, no question. But if you look at the rest of what Jesus did, he was just fulfilling Scripture about him. Do you know what the Scripture says about you? Need to find out. What happens when you come across an impossible situation? Do you believe that your destiny is tied up with the Scripture? Do you believe like Mary, be it unto me according to your word? Would you like this word to become flesh and dwell among you and behold its glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth? I do. Well, if that's going to happen, if this word's going to become flesh, then I'm going to have to say like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. I'm going to have to look into this Bible, find out what he says about me, and tie my destiny to these words. And stand up on occasion and say, well, we stood on this and we stood on that, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. That's not blasphemy. That's what we all do when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When I confess Jesus Lord and Savior, I stood up that it might be fulfilled, which is prophesied by Paul in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I did that, that it might be fulfilled.
That's good. Yeah, that's right.
What Paul said in Romans 10, 9. And when I needed a healing, and my children needed a healing, and I laid hands on them according to Mark 16, 17. I laid hands on them and prayed according to 1 Peter 2:24 that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Mark in the 16th chapter and the 17th verse. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I laid hands on them and I believed with them that they'd be healed, that it might be fulfilled. What was spoken by Peter, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, by his stripes ye were healed. I think we ought to pick up a little something from Jesus here. We ought to pick up something from Mary here. Miracles don't just happen. They happen because people tie their destiny to the Word. They tie their destiny to the Scripture. They claim it. They stand on it. And they live their lives that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes along here. And we're tied up in the miracles of God. We've got to accept. We've got to believe. Amen. You know, Mary had to believe. In fact, Elizabeth, her cousin, told her this. When she walked in, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leaped when Mary walked in. Elizabeth was 6 months with child. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to prophesy. And she said, who am I that the mother of my Lord have come in here? I love that. And she said this. She said, there shall be a performance to Mary. She said, there shall be a performance of those things which were told you by the Lord because you believed. Now, if you want a performance of what God has told you, then you just need to believe is what you need to do. You need to find out what God says. You need to believe what God says and tie your destiny to the Word. You've done it when you got saved. You did it to that degree at least. You accepted the promise, the gift, that anyone, whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that. That scripture was fulfilled in you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you did that. You called on Him that it might be fulfilled, which is prophesied and said by Paul, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that. See, Jesus came along and fulfilled scriptures that were prophesied about Him as the Messiah. Well, the Bible says a lot about all of us. We ought to be fulfilling. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let me wrap this up. So I know you got Christmas turkey and ham and tamales waiting on you. Times they have changed, haven't they? I think how they were having tamales and turkey. Okay. Jesus was unique in that he was prophesied to come. Jesus, no other religious leader was. Jesus was unique in that, he came to die. No other religious leader did that. Are you with me? Nobody ever did that. Are you kidding me? And Jesus was unique. Now, here's a neat one. It's not necessarily a scripture, but it's interesting nonetheless. He's unique in that he split time in half. We're not living in the days of Buddha. This is not 2011, you know, in the day of Muhammad. We're living in A.D., in the year of our Lord. No other religious leader ever did that. I mean, when Jesus hit town, he split time right in half. Right in half. And of course, he's coming again. I don't believe anybody ever prophesied Muhammad coming back or Buddha coming back. You know, there's a song I used to listen to years and years ago by DeGarmo and Key. It's 30 years ago, I guess, but it was contemporary music. And it a little rocky beat to it says, last time he came, they pushed him around. Next time he comes, they best be out of town. You remember that kid in the manger scene? Next time he comes, he's going to reign as king. When he comes back, we'll be changed when Jesus comes back. But I mean, there's such a truth in that. Yeah, they pushed him around and he died for their sins. But when he comes back, they best be out of town. They better get right. Hallelujah. Well, he was pre-announced. He split time in half. He came to die. And you know what? He claimed to be God. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the way. He claimed to be the truth. See, that's very unique. See, he doesn't fit the mold. Muhammad would never have said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Buddha would have never said that. Buddha would have said, here's the way, here's the truth, there's the life. Jesus didn't say it's over there. He didn't say it's over here. He said, I am the life. I am the way. I am the message. He didn't say, I'm bringing you a message y'all need to follow. He says, I am the message. Follow me. Muhammad would have been blasphemy for anybody who said that, unless they really were God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus said, he was the Son of God. Buddha never said that. Muhammad never said that. Moses would have never said that. See, those are things that are very unique when we talk about Christmas and the birth of Jesus. Truly, he was Emmanuel, God with us. Truly, God visited us. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, came down in that manger scene and visited us and lived his life holy, spotless, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, forgave sin, gave to the poor, and then died on the cross and rose again. And the tomb is empty. No one ever will ever be like him. No one ever do all the things that he did there. No other religious leader will ever come close. They're not even in the same class, not even in the same category. He's unique. He's Jesus. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? He's why we celebrate Christmas. And we got reason to rejoice. Amen.